Let's pray together our prayer for illumination. Praying as one, God of call, God of transformation, God of the Lenten journey, help us to discern your still small voice. Open us to change and growth, that we may walk with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. The scripture lesson today is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. Look at all these beautiful friends. How's everybody? Good? Good. I'm going to sit right down here. So happy to see everybody. And how exciting. Mr. and Mrs. Hoyman are married 65 years. Can you believe that? Is that a long, long time? So happy, happy anniversary. And what a beautiful job our friends Emily and Jalissa did singing. So anyway, so great to see everybody. I have something special in my bag today. I actually have two numbers. Who knows what number this is? Zero. You know, I tell my friends in preschool, zero is such an important number. What does it mean? What does zero mean? Do you know? It does. It means nothing there. You're right. Do we count with zero? No, we don't start with zero. We start with one. So it's not a counting number. And it's very important because can you imagine if you went to the store and you had $5 to buy something and it cost $5, you'd have zero money left. So zero is a very important number. And zero is really important because when you add it to numbers, it becomes different numbers. It's very important. It adds another place. It adds the place of 10. You're going to learn that as you get older. So what number did I just make with these two? Oh, you're so smart. What did I make? 40. The number 40. 40 is a great number. I wish I was the number 40. 40 is a really great number. What if I switched it around? It would be four, right? Because then the zero wouldn't mean anything. And in the Bible, we hear the number 40 for a lot of really important things in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And especially in the New Testament, Pastor Chris is going to talk to us today. In fact, he even named his sermon 40. Great title for the sermon. And it's talking about the 40 days that Jesus was all by himself in the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil, and he was all by himself. He had no food, he had nothing, and he was there for 40 days. And then after Jesus rose on Easter, it was 40 days before he went up to heaven to be with God, where he is now forever. And 40 is a very important time for us now, because on this past Wednesday was called Ash Wednesday. It starts the very special season we call Lent that leads up into Easter. Now, we all love Christmas because Christmas is one of the most important days ever. That's the day Jesus was what? He was born. But on Easter, even more important, because Jesus came to be our Savior, and that's when he rose from the dead. What do you want to say, friend?
Did you hear that there's a leap year?
It is. That's this year, leap year. You're right. but Easter is coming now. Let's see, so Wednesday started 40 days, so now we're a couple days into it. But 40 days until we get to Easter, the greatest day ever, because that's when Jesus rose from the dead for us, became our Savior. So guess what? These next 40 days and every 40 days after, we want to show everybody about Jesus's love. How can we do that? Well, when I just see all of you, that reminds me of Jesus, because I see all his love in you. When I look out and see everybody here, I see Jesus' love in everyone. Just in our beautiful smiles, we can say kind things. We can do kind things. We can send cards to friends who are sick. What else can we do to show Jesus' love? What can we do? Can we tell others about Jesus? Can we bring him to church with us? We sure can. So let's remember to do that, especially these next 40 days. Let's be thinking about that up to Easter. Just what Jesus did to die for us. But did he stay dead? Mm-mm. He rose again. And one day we'll be with him forever. So let's thank him and let's pray together. Thanks for being such great listeners. Let's fold our hands and close our eyes. Dear Lord Jesus, we are so thankful. We are so thankful for you and all you have done for us. And we pray, Lord, that your love will just shine forth from our lives to everybody we meet so they'll know you too. Thank you for loving us so much and help us always to be the children that you have called us to be and to show and share your love with everyone we meet. We ask this in your most precious name. Amen. Thanks, friends. Have a great week. So great to see you all.
Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as Ruth mentioned, we are in the season of Lent. It's popular in Lent to give something up. So what did you give up? This is a real question, by the way, not one of those silly rhetorical things where I just ask you to reflect. I actually want to know, if you gave something up, what is it? Candy? Chocolate? What was that? Thanks. All right, okay. Anything else? Ice cream? Coffee. I don't see anyone sleeping here this morning, so I don't think anyone gave up coffee. As we get further along into the season of Lent, sometimes it gets to be harder and harder, especially with things like, you know, chocolate or ice cream or candy, because those kinds of things will often associate with celebrations or with, you know, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch a basketball game and have a bowl of ice cream. Well, the basketball game comes on. The ice cream is in the freezer. It would be really easy just to go and get it, right? So we feel those temptations. That's really what we're talking about today, is temptation. Thinking about the ways that we could very easily give in, right? Things are only tempting to us if we can do something about them, right? Like, I have no temptation whatsoever to go out and buy a Tesla today after church. Not because I don't want a Tesla, because I do. But I have no temptation because, well, if I write that check, they're going to go to cash it and it's going to bounce, right? So that's not a temptation. But there are other temptations, the things that we can give into, which is what makes the story about Jesus in the wilderness so intriguing. Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days, which has ties to the Old Testament. The number 40 shows up again and again and again, whether it's the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years or whether it's Noah on the ark and the rain falling for 40 days and 40 nights, or whether it's Moses, we talked about that last week, Moses going up on the mountain of God to receive the law, and he's up there for 40 days, and he doesn't eat anything either while he's up there. So Jesus is fasting. He's not eating for 40 days. out in the wilderness. And the devil comes. When Jesus is preparing for his ministry, he's just been baptized by John in the Jordan River, and the Spirit that comes upon him when the voice of God says, "This is my beloved with whom I am well pleased," that same Spirit then leads Jesus into the wilderness for this time of preparation. So you can imagine, he's been fasting, he's been praying, perhaps he's been studying, relying on God during this time. And he's hungry because it's been 40 days since he's eaten. I had a couple of munchkins like 30 minutes ago, and I'm hungry. He's out there for 40 days, and he's hungry, and you would be too. Let's not forget, Jesus is human. And the devil comes and says to him, "You're hungry. You could easily turn those stones into bread. What's the temptation there?" Jesus is tempted to rely on himself for his provision, which we know because he quotes scripture back to the devil saying, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He says, "God will provide for me." So the devil takes him to the Temple Mount and says to him, "Throw yourself down. The angels will rescue you because it's written in Scripture, God will not let you be harmed, will not dash your foot against a stone." That's the same as the On Eagle's Wings song that we know, "He will raise you up on eagle's wings." That's the same scripture passage. So the first temptation for Jesus is to provide for himself. The second is to test whether or not God will provide. And what does Jesus respond to the devil with? "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." So finally, the devil takes him to the highest point in all the world and says, "Look around. All of this I'll give to you. It's mine. I'll give it to you if you'll bow down and worship me." So if the first was provide for yourself, the second was test out whether or not God will actually provide for you. The third one that the devil says is, "Let me provide for you instead." And what does Jesus say? "Get out of here, devil. Get out of here, devil." And the devil leaves him until a later, more opportune time. That's at least what Luke says. Tells us. But these three temptations, to provide for himself, to put God to the test, and to allow someone else to provide for his needs, to provide for what he wants. It's very instructive for us because it hints at some of the temptations that we feel in our lives, not just the temptation of whether or not we're going to give in to the candy or the ice cream or the chocolate or the, you know, coffee or whatever it is. My hearing is so bad. I still have no idea what you said, Kristen. I'm very sorry. The temptation for us, though, to rely on ourselves and not God is very much present in our culture today, right? Who remembers the summary of the law? We might have heard a version of it just a few minutes ago. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. And a second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All right. So there you have the order of importance. God first, others second, ourselves third. All important, but that's kind of the order. But in our lives, we're tempted to reverse that order. To put ourselves first. To provide for ourselves. To take care of ourselves first. In whatever that means. And when I say ourselves, I don't always just mean ourselves, but our families or those who are important to us, right? Heard of Focus on the Family before, right? James Dobson, the radio program and resources and all of that stuff. There's a way to make that into an idol. Say our only focus is on our families. Everything else takes a second place to the family or to myself. And we're tempted to do that. And because our culture will often tell us, you're going to regret neglecting your family if you work all the time. We then can justify, well, I pour all of myself into my family or all of myself into my own personal development to be the best husband or the best father I can be or whatever that looks like. And sometimes our practices during the season of Lent lend themselves to that too. But if we think about that summary of the law, what we're really doing is putting ourselves or our own nuclear unit first. That's kind of the first temptation that Jesus feels. Provide for yourself. And what does he say? Turn your eyes back to God. The second temptation we might have is to care for others. Well, that's a good thing, right? So maybe we volunteer at a soup kitchen, or maybe we, I don't know, help our neighbors shovel their sidewalk, which we haven't had to do very much this year, knock on wood, so far so good, right? Or rake the leaves, or mow the lawn, or clean out the gutters, or whatever the case might be. Or maybe it's to help out the church in some way, to give money or talents or resources to cleaning out old back storage closets and all those kinds of things. Or maybe if it's going down and hammering nails in a Habitat for Humanity house. Those are all good things, right? But again, the temptation for us is not to put God first in that situation either. That somehow our service to God takes the place of what it is to truly love God. That we pour all of our time and all of our energy into these volunteer opportunities, which is maybe better than putting it all into ourselves, but it still misplaces where the first priority is to be. Because Jesus tells his disciples that the order is to love the Lord your God first, to pour your heart, to pour your energy, to pour your attention into what it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your guts, with your soul, with your mind, and with your strength, with your actions. That's supposed to be first. That's what Jesus is pointing back to in each of these temptations. In every situation, it's putting something else other than God first. And so if we can say the season of Lent is about anything, it's about remixing our lives and reprioritizing our lives so that we put first things first. The whole point of prayer and fasting and study and acts of service is not so that we are better people or that we make the world a better place, although those two things are admirable, but we ultimately lose if it's not because we are putting God first in our lives, loving the Lord our God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. And so we have this season of Lent to help guide us towards that. And each week out of Matthew's gospel, we will come along with Jesus and find some words that are uplifting and some words that are quite frankly really, really terrifying and difficult to understand. Parables of the kingdom, but parables of judgment. Warnings about what happens when we give into the temptation to put anything other than God first in our lives. And so we have these 40 days, minus Sundays, to get our lives right, to get our priorities right, to focus our full attention on God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One final sort of P.S. afterthought. A few years ago, in a different church, I preached a very similar sermon, talking about putting God first, loving God with all that we have. And a well-meaning young man came up to me and said, but if I give my entire heart to God, then will I not have anything left over for my work or my family? Which is a really good question. But the thing with loving God is that when we love God, it expands our ability to love. It's not a zero-sum game. When we pour ourselves into God first, it opens up new possibilities for love. It causes our hearts and our souls and our minds to expand exponentially so that our capacity for love increases. When we put God first, when we love God first, our ability to love our neighbors and our ability to love our friends is deepened and strengthened so much. We would wonder why we ever attempted to put anything else first. And so let's let that be our mantra and our challenge today. In this season of Lent, we have 40 days to put first things first. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. And loving our neighbors and ourselves will come naturally as a result. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for this wilderness experience that Jesus endured because it teaches us about putting our priorities straight. We thank you that Jesus did not give in to the pressures of the devil, the pressures of this world, but instead points us towards a better way to rely on you for everything that we have, and everything that we say, and everything that we do. So in this season of Lent, Lord, be with us. Send your Spirit to lead us through a wilderness experience where we come out on the other side refreshed, renewed, and set right. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.